I'm going to talk on what I believe is key to the kingdom of God. It's key to your family life. It's key to church life. It's actually key to our society. And that topic is honor. Everyone say honor. When the kingdom is present inside of us, honorable behavior comes naturally to us. You meet someone who's in love with God, and you meet someone whose heart's overwhelmed with God, and you'll meet an honorable person. Amen? For me, quite often, it's easy to figure out where someone's at, and it's not sometimes how much they know, because someone can actually memorize a lot of things. But it's more to do with their actions. It's more to do with how they respond to things and how they do things. And it's that character, because those are the harder things in life. Amen? We can all act dishonorably. It doesn't take much to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, act the wrong way. Correct? You can find yourself in traffic, as we all do, and someone's just cut you off, and someone's just done something crazy, or it's easy. I know for me, if I could let myself go for 2 minutes, I could have that window down and I could be yelling out profanities. I could do it. It's not a hard thing. There was a stage in my life where I did do that. It was quite common, and it's just, I'm not proud of that stage in my life. But the reality is, to bite your tongue and to hold back and to not respond, sometimes when you feel you can and you've got a right to, takes more strength, correct? And anyone that's got into any position of leadership knows that you're going to get things that come against you, and you've got to react with honor. We give honor to everyone, not just because they deserve it, but because we are honorable citizens of the kingdom. Are you with me? See, honor is not something that you just give because someone deserves it. If you see a policeman and he's in his uniform, you don't just give him honor because you know that his name is Bill and he's a good man, he's lived a good life, and he's tracked well in life, and he's lived an upright, standing life all through his life. You give him honor because he's wearing a uniform, and that uniform is part of a structure that our society is built on. Amen? Are you with me? So just remember that next time you get pulled over by the police. Are you with me? Honor is something that we have in our society to hold it together. It's a fabric. It's a foundation. When we walk in our kingdom, with the kingdom of God in our hearts, when we walk in this world with the kingdom of God in our hearts, our behavior is not determined by our natural environment, but by our internal environment. Are you with me? I cannot guarantee, and the Word of God doesn't guarantee, and no one out there guarantees, that you as a believer will have an incredibly amazing outside environment around you. In fact, the majority of Christians these days, a lot of them live in places where their outside environment is quite hostile towards what they believe. Are you with me? So you dictate your life by your internal environment, by your heart, by your attitude, by the things that govern you, by the things that restrain you, by the things that stop you from allowing yourself to become what the environment is around you. Are you with me? You can live in the most terrible environment but be an incredibly positive, faith-filled, honorable person. You know, I watched that movie recently, Invictus. Who's seen the movie Invictus? Nelson Mandela. It's the whole, you know, the game of football. If you talk to the New Zealanders, well, they've got a whole different story. If you know anything about that. Yeah. But the reality is, I just love the life of Nelson Mandela, a man that could spend that many years in a hostile environment, but he kept his inner world positive. Are you with me? And that elevated him to great heights. And determined the man he was going to be. We don't just honor people because they are honorable, but we honor people because we are honorable. Are you with me? For a Christian, honor is a condition of the heart, not just a product of our environment. It's something that is inside of us. It's something that maintains who we are. It's something that we have an idea of. It's something that we have an attitude about us. We have an honorable attitude about us. And we get it from the Word of God. We don't get it from our environment. We get it from the Word of God. God asks us to be this way. Honor doesn't mean we have to agree all the time with the people we are honoring. It simply means we value them as people who have been created in the image and the likeness of God and placed in a position of honor. It's great to see we've got some great friends here today. It's good to see Steve and his wife here, our candidates that are going to be heading to an election in a couple of weeks, I think. Good to have you guys with us. Come on, give them a hand. You got to understand that God actually calls us to honor. God actually asks us to carry honor in our hearts. And he actually is quite specific about those areas in our lives that we need to honor people. He gives us places, he gives us positions in our society that we are called to honor and we are called to value. And it's not out of the fact that they are set up with perfect people who are going to live perfect lives. Are you with me? I think whenever we point our honor towards a person and not just the position, then you're going to find yourself getting disappointed. Are you with me? Because people are human. Please don't ever think any civic leader or even a pastor or someone can be elevated to a place where they're expected to be perfect. As soon as you do that, you set yourself up for a fall and you set them up for a fall. Are you with me? We need to believe, we need to pray for, we need to expect our leaders to be people of men and women of honor. I understand that, and there's systems in place that protect that. But I think when someone puts all that value on that person being perfect, then they're missing the point of what God wants us to do. Are you with me? And I love this. There's a great story in the Word of God. It's about the Apostle Paul. And Paul's upset with the Jews, and he's taken by the Romans, and he's about to be scourged, which is whipped. He's about to be disciplined. That's their way was to find out whether or not what he was saying was true. Back in those days, they just whipped you to find out that was the way. That was, you didn't go before a court, you got punished, and then that's how they decided whether or not you were telling the truth. If they whipped you long enough and you screamed out in mercy, and then that's how the system worked. Thank God we don't have a system like that. But they find out that he's a Roman citizen, and we pick up the story, and let me just read this. It's Acts chapter 22, verse 30. If you got your Bible, go with me right now. We'll have a quick look at this. It says, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, they released him from his bonds and commanded that the chief priests and all their council appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. So Paul's been whipped. He's been chastised. He's a Roman citizen. And no one really knows why he's been whipped and chastised. They're not quite sure, so they're bringing him into a place, really like a court situation. And then Paul standing there, Acts 23, verse 1, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike Paul on the mouth. So Paul stands up there really to defend himself. He's done nothing wrong. Really, there's nothing concrete, but yet he's been whipped already, and then he's been dragged here. So he's already been judged. before he's been even accused. And he's brought in front of this council, and Paul begins to speak, and the high priest who's in the room commands someone to walk over, and biblical times to strike him in the mouth. But you've got to understand, in biblical times, it wasn't like a little... It was probably a large hit. It was quite brutal. These are brutal times. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, so Paul obviously gained his composure, and he said, well, God, well, listen to him. This is Paul. He's upset. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? So Paul, just without any thought for anything, because I think he was a little bit like that, he turns around and he just goes this council. You know, obviously he's smarting from the hit, he's in pain, he's angry, and he's not Jesus, he's not perfect. So he turns around and he goes this guy. And those who stood by said, do you not revile God's high priest? And then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. What Paul did in one instant, when he understood the position and the function of honor. See, Paul understood that the high priest was a person, and it was a position of honor. Whether it wasn't a man, it was a position. And as soon as Paul turned around and had a go at this group that struck him, and they whispered in his ear, or however they did it, and said to him, you know what? This is the high priest. Paul goes, hey, oh man, I'm sorry. It wasn't about the person. It wasn't about the circumstances. He had just been accused. He'd just been whipped. He'd just been punched by someone. None of it for anything that he had done wrong. His actions weren't wrong. His position wasn't wrong. He was a Roman citizen. He was supposed to be someone that was respected and honored. Yet, because he understood the kingdom of God and its authority and its honor and its structure, he pulled himself straight out and said, I'm sorry. You know what? I had no right to say that to that man. Are you with me? We got to understand that the kingdom of God has an honor structure. Paul understood honor, and it stopped him in his tracks. You've got to understand that in your life, there is a God teaches us about a system, about a value, about a where honor sits in your heart and where it should sit in your heart. And there is life connected to it. There is blessing connected to it. There is for your life, there is a system that allows you to track your life well. You know, the kingdom of God has values. And honor is a strong, established value in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is built on honor. And you know what? Not everyone gets it. Proverbs 26 verse 1 clearly says, as snow in summer, which doesn't happen, and as rain in harvest, which obviously doesn't happen, so honor is not seemly to a fool. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? The Word of God is basically saying, for someone who is a fool, they will never get honor. They'll never see it. They'll never understand it. They'll never understand how it fits in their world. They won't live by that. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your mother and father so that your life will be prolonged. See, it's important to realize that there is a relationship between life and honor. There is relationship. Honor creates a highway in which we travel. It's a key virtue in our lives. If we live by the code of honor, we will have a prolonged and good life. If you allow honor to disappear out of your heart or out of your dealings, and if you start to think that you can do what you want when you want, and if you start to judge people based on what they do and not based on the positions that they have, you're going to get yourself into trouble. When we honor others, we recognize their authority and yield to their position. Listen to this. This is a key to honor. Honor is humility in action. Honor is humility in action. It takes a strength on the inside. It takes a lot to live an honorable life, because all of us want to say something, do something, have a go at something. We all want to have our say, but I think we've got to catch ourselves and make sure that our lives are ones that are governed by the kingdom of God, not by the values that we find around us. Amen? Now, we're Aussies. We like to have a shot at anyone in authority, don't we? You go to America, and I don't know, it's just more patriotic over there. You know, America is just a bit more like that. You know, they love their flags. Every second house has an American flag. And, you know, it's just the way it is. I don't know what it is. You know, it's just they just love, well, I guess they love themselves. But that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm not being condescending here. But it's not a bad thing, because if you can't love yourself, it's hard to love others. Are you with me? But we here in Australia, we kind of take pride on the fact that we've come from convict stock, you know, or some of us have, and I haven't. I've come from New Zealand. We came from pure stock. No. But, you know, and you talk to the average Aussie, and there's this thumping in us, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, stick it to the man. You know, that sort of, yeah, you know, they don't know what they're doing, and it's kind of gets to a base level, it's just an attitude that pervades our society. But the reality is, we would be in a lot of trouble if we didn't have the authorities that are in our lives. Are you with me? Just imagine, there are countries where the authority structure is a mess, and the countries are a mess. I think we live in a pretty good world. I'm sure our guys don't make all the right decisions all the time. But you know what? We could help them by honoring them in that position. Now, I got to say myself, I do go to council a bit, and I see our mayor and our councillors. And I got to say, 9 times out of 10, my prayers for them are for those guys in those positions. Because I just pray for them and their families. Because you know what? It's a tough road. Go sit in council for a few weeks and realize they get abused just for the sake of being in a position. And anyone that steps into that area, they cop it. God is a God of honor. There are levels of honor within the kingdom of God. And I've got so much to go and so little time. So I'm going to... Can I just jump into 3 areas that our society is built on? Can I do that? Just for give me 3 more minutes. Maybe 4. The first one is the area of a parent. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may dwell well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, the three parts of our society is made up really out of 3 key areas. It's the family, and the honor structure exists within the family. You take out honor out of a family and you have chaos. As soon as you get a family, as soon as the kids think that they can dishonor the parents, and quite often, you get to a stage, teenagers, you get to the stage of, well, I don't know, whatever age it is, and you start to question everything, which is normal. It's a process in life. You get to a stage, you look around you, and you think, you know what, I'm actually pretty good. I'm 15, 13, or 12, and I've lived life now. And I've got my own perspective, and my parents' perspective is not perfect anymore, because you're becoming yourself, and it's natural, it's normal. And they get to a place, and that's normal. But when a child steps to a place where they begin to dishonor, that's when they step into trouble. Because honor is not based on your parents being perfect. It's based on a structure that keeps your family stable. As soon as you dishonor and begin to dishonor like that, I tell you what, you open the door for your own life and within your family's life for there to be some rebellion and chaos. Are you with me? We get that. So honor is not about perfect parents. It's about just allowing that to be the fabric of your family. The second one is the government. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submission to government says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. In our life, it's honor the queen. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers are not of terror of good works. Let me stop it right there. Do we get that? So I encourage you. You know, and I'm just, this is something I prepared for a while. So it's not just about our some of our leaders that are in the room here. But I tell you what, we need to pray for them. We need to be a part of honoring the system. I thank God for the system that we have in this country. It's not perfect. And the people, the men and women that are working in it are not perfect, but it's a good system and I honor it. Amen? We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our government. We need to speak well of our government. We need to speak well of those civic people. We need to speak well of the police and all those areas. We need to thank God for them in this society that we live in. And the last one in the And I'll finish with this as church leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. It says here for their work's sake. It doesn't say because they're perfect and they're better than you and they do things better than you and they know more than you. It's for their work's sake. It's for their position because God wants order. Amen. We need to allow honor to be something that engulfs our hearts. We need to speak honorably. There's a lot of other people to honor. The Word of God says to honor the poor, the widow. There's people that you honor. 1 Timothy 5 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the Word and doctrine. It's the way God sets things up. So I just encourage you, let's be people of honor. Amen? You want to be someone of honor? Start with preparing your heart. Next time I'll talk on how we prepare our hearts, what we're going to deal with in our hearts to walk in this culture of honor that God wants us to have. Amen? I've got to tell you, when you're an honorable person, no matter where you float in life, no matter when you're in the corporate world, wherever you float in life, the Word of God says it will elevate your life. Are you with me? When you can honor someone, when you carry that spirit, when you carry it, connects people to you. It gives you a sense. It gives you a presence. It creates an honor around your life. You'll see respect. You'll see people give you opportunities because you carry that spirit. If you carry a spirit that's dishonorable, if you're always doing little snidely things or just sneaking things in or doing things, if you carry that, do you know what? It'll affect your life. So why don't we stand to our feet this morning?